Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Hi, welcome back to Redefined by Love. My name is Jennifer McPherson, the host of Redefined by Love, and I am so excited to have you guys here with me today. So today we are going to dive into a discussion on the difference between transactional religion and a relationship with a father who transforms everything. And the reason we're going to talk about this is because it actually is something that I've seen people struggle with for years. I myself struggled with this for quite a number of years, in spite of being a believer and follower of Jesus Christ. So today I want to welcome you guys in. If this is your first time finding us here on Redefined by Love, just a little bit about what we do here. We are all about redefining everything through the lens of God's authentic and honest love. So I'm glad that you found your way here. I encourage you to like, subscribe, and follow us on social media since you've stopped by, right? Sit down, take a seat, and spend some time getting to know what we're all about here. So one of the primary questions that I found myself asking recently, both in my life, because I like to say this, I will never talk about a subject that God has not already dealt with me on in my own life, right? And so what I found myself asking lately was, are you living from performance or from relationship? And this isn't the first time I've asked myself this question. In fact, it's one that I periodically ask myself because due to the nature of my makeup, right? I'm prophetic and I'm also artistic, right? And so it's actually not difficult for me to find myself slipping into those old performance-based patterns. So I have to constantly remind myself that my place of seating is at the table of Yahweh, the table of the Lord, and it has nothing to do with how productive or gifted or any of that type of stuff I may be showing up as in that season, right? So when we ask ourselves this question, are we living from performance or from relationship? It's important for us to really wait and allow the Lord to reveal the answer to us. And I'll tell you why. Because if we convince ourselves that we are living from relationship, when in actuality we've allowed performance to take precedence in our lives, we will fool ourselves into thinking that we are not being controlled and governed by the need to be performance driven. And here's the thing, religion is all around us. It's everywhere. Religion is everywhere we turn. You're more likely to bump into religion than authentic relationship because religion is the voice of the day, if you will, right? And so for me personally, right, this is actually something that I've dealt with the entirety of my life. From the time I was a child, this idea was planted in me that I was only as valuable to people as what I could give or do or how well I could perform. So this produced in me something that was contrary to my nature, to be honest with you, this need to compete, this need to prove that I'm better, this need to feel like there's something that makes me better or more proficient than other people. And you would think, you would think that by coming into the church and coming into Christ's body, that this mentality would immediately get snuffed out. And unfortunately, that is just not what happened for me. In fact, it got reignited for me within the system of the church, because I was always trying to find a place where I felt stable, where I felt like just me was good enough, and that I didn't have to perform, and I didn't have to be the most gifted or most revelatory or most this or that in order to be welcome at the table, right? And the thing was, I was looking for that validation in man instead of finding it in Christ, right? And that's what we're going to talk about today. What happens to a life when we actually make that shift, when we make that adjustment from the place of transactional religion, when we lay that down and instead we pick up the reality of sonship in relationship with the Father? So the first thing we're going to talk about here is, what do I mean when I say transactional religion? Okay. And this can really be very simply understood. And when I explain this, you know, if you're not familiar with this phrasing, right? When I explain it, you'll recognize it everywhere. You'll say, wait, this is everywhere, right? So transactional religion is the idea that there are any sets of rules, regulations, or things that I can do to gain a higher place of favor or gain a higher place of honor with the Lord, right? It's the idea. So some of the ways that we see this, no one comes out and says this, but what we say is, we say things like, if I pray, I'm going to pray and God is going to bless me. Or if I serve enough, God will approve, or God will be happy and pleased with me, right? Instead of understanding, even when we evaluate scripture, and I'm not going to go to this scripture right now, but even if you go and you look at the scriptures that speak of when Jesus was told by the Spirit of God, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased, it's intentional that God said this to Jesus prior to him doing anything. In other words, he did not wait until after Jesus fasted, or until after he healed the 5,000, or until after we learned of his prayer posture or any of this. In fact, at the moment when God said this to Jesus, that was his entrance into what we would call ministry. He hadn't done any of this stuff yet, right? And so the powerful thing about that is it brings us back to this revelation, this reality that God is not waiting for us to do something, right? To see himself as Father, to see us as his children. He's actually already looking at us from that perspective. And one of the controversial things that I personally have really felt the Lord speak to my heart about is this idea that, you know, we're only God's children. We're only God's children if we've said a prayer, or if we've done some set of acts, been baptized, whatever. This is all a part of believing that God is a transactional God, right? But what if love was never meant to be earned? Now, let me explain this to you. I grew up in a manner where I believed love had to be earned. I just told you that. I grew up in a family where if you weren't behaving well, you were criticized. If you weren't the prettiest, if you weren't the smartest, if you weren't this or that, right? And so it was ingrained in me from a very early age that I had to do something to make myself valuable to others. Otherwise, people would not want me around, right? And so this comes from what we call the orphan spirit and orphan mentality. It is a mindset, right, that we are not already accepted and valued and loved by Father God, but that somehow we must earn this place of acceptance and love with him, right? And because of this mentality running rampant within the church, we've set up a system of transactional religion instead of revealing relationship in Christ with the Father. Okay. And okay. So here are some ways that you can see if you or someone you love is operating in this orphan mindset. Constant comparison of yourself to others or their selves to others. Insecurity or perfectionism. Difficulty receiving love is one. It sounds so funny because oftentimes when a person struggles with this, when they have an orphan mentality or an orphan spirit, right? All they want is love. But oftentimes they struggle to receive love, right? And so what I would love to do is look here in Romans 8:15, the Bible talks about this, right? And so it says in the Passion Translation, "And you did not receive the spirit of religious duty, leading you back into the fear of never being good enough. But you have received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God." And if you struggle to understand what this verse is saying, right, it's telling us that the idea that we are in some cycle of religion that tells us we have to do something to get to God or to get in his good graces or to get access to him, right? These are all forms of a religious mindset that are set up to actually separate us from seeing the true reality of where we are seated in Christ, right? And then it says that he's enfolded us into the family of God. So we are already enfolded into the family of God. It's odd to me when I hear people talk about God as though they talk about him as though, today I'm with him, tomorrow I'm not. And the reality is you're with him evermore. And I get in trouble when I say that to certain people because they're not comfortable with it because it takes away the power of religious duty. But here, what Paul is saying, the writer of Romans, right? Or whoever the writer of Romans is, I think it's Paul. What he's saying here is he's reminding us, you actually weren't given a spirit that brings you into that cycle of religion. Religious duty is what the Bible calls it. You are actually brought into a spirit of full acceptance, which is the antithesis to this idea of having to strive and earn the love and acceptance of God. The antithesis means the opposite, right? It's the solution. It's the thing that counteracts this mindset, right? So if you come across somebody, if you know somebody and they're constantly worried that they have to strive and strive and fight and strive and strive to reach God or get in his good graces, the only way to neutralize that lie, because it is a lie from the pit of hell, is to remind said person that they are already accepted in Christ and full and enfolded into the family of God, right? And the second part of this verse is, "And you will never feel orphaned, For as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, beloved Father. And you know, what I often think about, I have thought about, let me say it like this. What I've thought about is if this scripture says that if we've received the spirit of full acceptance, we will never feel orphaned. So the proof that we've in some manner rejected or failed to take hold of in our heart, in the space of our heart, the reality of full acceptance is that we still feel orphaned. Because it's actually the work of Holy Spirit that is constantly reminding us or telling us or prophesying to us, right? Or revealing, if you will, saying to us that he is our beloved Father. So if we're in a place, listen, it's not nothing to be ashamed of, but if we are in a place where we're having trouble believing that and we're still being controlled and dictated and moved and governed, right, by these lies, these demonic voices, right? And also strongholds, right, that have told us, oh no. You haven't done enough. You've got to be more gifted. You've got to, you know, be more of the one that's moving in the power or whatever. If that's a thought you have, if that's the way you feel, it's actually proof, right, that there needs to be more time spent allowing Holy Spirit to minister to us, right? And this is one of the things that we tend to shy away from, is the reality that there are some things that other people as ministers don't need to be part of ministering to us in, because we need to sit in the love of God, which I say this all the time. It is uncomfortable at first, especially if you suffer, right, from an orphan spirit, because you don't feel worthy of the love that surrounds you. But actually, it's necessary that we sit in the love of God and we allow that love to reframe everything else. And if we don't allow it to reframe everything else, then we find ourselves stuck on this roller coaster ride of up and down and up and down, because we haven't become settled in his love. And I believe that the thing that the Lord is doing right now in the body of Christ, right, in the earth, is that he is bringing us to a place where we begin to be settled in his love, right? And being settled in his love means we're no longer fighting. We're no longer striving. We're no longer battling and trying to climb our way up to him, right? But we're understanding that he surrounds us on all sides, and we sit in that love and we receive that love by way of the ministry of Holy Spirit, right? And so if you're somebody listening to this and you don't know how to do that, you're like, I don't even know what you're talking about, then reach out to me. Like, I'd be happy to talk with you. That's one of the things I have a heart to do, is bring people to the understanding of the freedom to sit in the love of God, because we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, right? So what happens when this orphan spirit is eradicated by the ministry of Holy Spirit? Well, what happens is we are introduced to God as not a father far off, aloof, looking to catch us up, right? But we begin to see him as the Father who transforms everything. I will tell you a little story. I grew up reading scripture. Like, I loved scripture from the time I was a child, right? But the God I saw in the Old Testament as a child versus the God I see even in the Old Testament now, totally different, because the revelation of Christ and the revelation of the reality of us being accepted in, you know, and not trying to work our way in or perform our way in, totally opened up my ability to see the love of God in action, right? And so there is a shift from the idea of earning the love of God, from the idea of earning the right to sit in his presence, from the idea of earning the right to be a recipient or heir of salvation, right? To understanding that by way of relationship, we get to enter into it, right? So in my life in particular, I've experienced this. I've experienced moments where I struggle to feel that love. I struggle to fathom that I was welcome in, that he wanted me at his table, that nobody could boot me out of that place because he had already welcomed me in. Right. And so if you take one thing from this episode of today's podcast, what I want you to take away is the reality that he invited you to the table, and therefore nobody can take your seat and nobody can boot you away from the table. You are welcome at the table. You are welcome in. He welcomes you in with open arms, even if, like the prodigal son in the parable of the prodigal son, even if you've run off and you've made a mess and you've blown your inheritance and you've done everything that you think disqualifies you, right? Understand that qualification could never come through your life. You or I could never perform our way into the love of God. The miraculous gift of salvation is that we don't have to, right? And so let's look at scripture. So 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, Second Corinthians 3:18 says, we can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces, and with no veil, we will all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of Lord Jesus. So let's talk about this for a minute. Let's talk about why this scripture tells us that the transformation that we're all waiting for. Okay, this supposed process that has been preached from pulpits for years, right, is a perversion of it. Okay, the transformation that occurs when we turn to Jesus with our whole heart. It says in the scripture, the verse before this one, 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says that if we turn to him with our whole heart, he removes the veil. And then it goes on to say what we just read. Now we can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces, and with no veil, we become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of Lord Jesus. In other words, we literally begin to radiate Christ in everything we do. So the idea that one must perform their way into this place, or one must find a pattern, you know, that gives you access to this, is a perversion of the scriptures here that we just read that says, listen, all you must do is turn to him with your whole heart. I always imagine the Lord, you know, I see this visually because I'm a seer, right? But what I always see is him like a doting father waiting for us to turn. And it's Holy Spirit, you know, waiting for us to turn into Holy Spirit so that he can unveil the love of God within us, right? Because we become like mirrors that reflect Christ in the earth. And then it says, we are being transfigured into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, in order to understand what this passage of scripture is actually saying, you would have to read 2 Corinthians 3 in its entirety. It's a powerful passage of scripture. It really is. It's mind-boggling how powerful it is. But what he's doing here is he does a comparison to the glory that Moses functioned in the Old Testament, right? In the book of Exodus and so on and so forth. He's comparing that level of glory, which was meant eventually to fade away, right? To this level of glory that we get to step into. He's not describing a continual process that goes through your entire life. He's saying step out of that old glory where you're veiled and step into this new glory in Christ that he's opened the door for, where the veil is removed and you become the reflection. You become an image bearer. And we'll talk about that. You know, I'm going to talk about that in a couple of episodes here. But the image, we are created to be image bearers of Christ, but we can't step into being image bearers when we have a veil covering our face. So we've got to turn our hearts into the Spirit of God, allow the Spirit of God to remove the veil from our eyes in order for us to see him rightly, okay? And then reflect the beautiful, pure image of God in the earth around us. This is what Romans is talking about when it describes the whole earth is waiting for the sons of God to be made manifest. The creation is waiting for us to turn to him with our full hearts, have the veil removed, and reflect his image and likeness in the earth around us, right? Because that's what glory is. Glory is the image and likeness. That you can diminish that word to meaning the image and likeness of God. Okay, so what he does here is he begins to reveal Christ, reveals to us, right, that we are invited in, we are accepted, we are welcome in to the reality of sonship in Christ. So some will talk about this as perichoresis, which I'm not going to get into on this channel, but it's the dance. It's the entrance into life, the entrance into a lifestyle relationship. This is not about religious principles. This is not about systems or programs that must be enacted. This is about us coming into the reality of relationship, right? And so in Galatians chapter 6, it says, and so that we would know that we are his true children, God released the spirit of sonship into our hearts, moving us to cry out immediately, my father, my true father, or some translations say Abba Father. So he's literally, what we're getting here in Galatians is the reality that, listen, we're God's children. And as such, he's released Holy Spirit into our hearts. So this is really a mirror of what we just read in Romans. But Holy Spirit is telling us, he is revealing to us that we are God's children. Not that we can be one day, not that we can fight our way into it, but that we are his children. That he looks at us and sees us enfolded into Christ, therefore his children. And then Galatians 4:7 says, now we're no longer living like slaves under the law, but we enjoy being God's very own sons and daughters. And because we're his, we can access everything our Father has, for we are heirs because of what God has done. This is a challenging verse for a lot of us to come into understanding of, right? We are no longer slaves. We are no longer even servants, right? We serve, but we are not servants only. We are sons and daughters, meaning joint heirs with Christ. So everything God has, he has entrusted to us. What we're doing is we are unpacking these spiritual realities, and this is what dictates whether or not we can see it manifest in our lives, to go back to the previous verse in 2 Corinthians that talks about the veil being removed. As the veil is removed and we begin to see this reality and see this truth, we begin to be able to understand it and therefore access it. So the lack of healing, the lack of prophecy, the lack of miracles, the lack of whatever it is you feel like is lacking in your life, it's only a matter of you turning into Holy Spirit with your whole heart, allowing the veil to be removed, which represents distorted identity, distorted understanding. When our distorted identity is removed, we begin to understand that everything God has, he has given us access to. So what does it look like to live from relationship? What is it like to live our lives from this relationship? So some people would use this as a time to tell you, this is what you do to have intimacy with the Lord. But what I'm going to say is this. The first thing that has to happen is we must lay down striving. We've got to choose by an act of our own will that we are not going to enter into striving, because we are going to rest in Christ and allow the love of God to be our anchor, not our gift, not our position and title. Excuse me. Not what ministry we're associated with or how many people follow our ministry or any of that stuff. It's all temporal. The only thing eternal is love. Jesus Christ and him crucified. I move to listening more. A lot of times we look at prayer as us asking God for things. That is not prayer. Prayer is communion with the Lord. And it can be quiet. It can be speaking. It can be meditative, right? But it's just communing with him. So this verse in John 15:15 says, I have never called you servants. Now, some translations say, I no longer call you servants, but I actually really like that Brian Simmons translates it this way. And he says, I've never called you servants, because a master does not confide in his servants, and servants don't always understand what the master is doing. Jesus is saying it was always his and God's heart to be in relationship with us, not for us to be merely servants of his will. Because God, if as we have this veil removed and we draw close to him in intimacy, we will find that he speaks to us. You can't have intimacy with anyone and not share your heart with them. That's the foundation of intimacy, is that we are sharing our heart. And if he wanted servants, then he would want a religious system, because he could just tell us what to do, the five-step process, but that is not the desire of the heart of God. His heart is for us to enter into relationship with him, for him to share his heart with us, for him to share his plans with us, for him to reveal himself to us, right? It says, but I call you my most intimate and cherished friends, for I reveal to you everything that I've heard from my Father. This is Jesus. He's talking to the disciples here, and he's saying, listen, I don't want you to see me as master. I want you to see me as a friend. I want you to know that I want you to know me like I know you. Right? You ever had a friend that you feel like didn't know you at all? It hurts. It hurts, especially if you've taken the time to get to know them, right? So I'm going to invite you into a question. Okay? Are there places in your life where if you're honest, you're still trying to perform for God's acceptance instead of resting in his love? Now, if that's you, I'm going to pray for you now. Lord, I thank you for each and every person that has made their way to this video or podcast. And Lord, I just speak right now to the hearts of those who are weary, to the hearts of those who are searching, to the hearts of those who are wandering, Lord. And I say, find your rest in the Christ, the risen one, the Messiah. He has opened the door and welcomed you into his body with open arms. And there is no need to strive. There is no need to try to figure it out. There is no need to try and create a formula. Because in Christ, you are seated in heavenly places and have equal access to the Father. Right now, Lord, I speak to mindsets of the orphan mentality, and I say, be silenced now in the name of Jesus. Right now, I speak to hearts that are weary with trying to figure it out. Hearts that are weary with trying to reach you, Lord. I speak to hearts that are wondering how to enter through that door that is the Christ. And I speak for encounters right now, that they would feel a stirring in their soul right now, in their spirit, that would lead them into a space of understanding in the realm of sacred love and sonship in Christ. So right now, Lord, I ask for increased awareness of your love for everyone under the sound of my voice. I ask for increased awareness of your ever abiding spirit within them. And right now, I cast down every vain imagination that would dare set itself against the knowledge of Christ in every single precious one. In Jesus' name. So if you are a person and you feel like this is you, you know, you haven't experienced the Lord like that. You don't know him in that way, right? Or if your heart was touched through that prayer, please feel free to reach out to us. You can follow us here on YouTube at Lord Send Me Counseling and Training. You can send your prayer requests there, or you can also reach out directly and we will pray for you. Or if you wanted to schedule time for us to meet, if you're in the Cleveland and surrounding area, I'm happy to meet with you face to face. If you're not in the Cleveland and surrounding area, I periodically do this on Zoom. Please do not forget to like, subscribe, and share this video or podcast, depending on how you're hearing me. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. And I want you to remember something as you go. Transformation doesn't happen through effort. It happens through relationship. You are already in relationship with the one who transforms. So, love you guys. Thank you so much for joining us. We will see you next time on Redefined by Love. Okay.